Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From our gospel reading, Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus said to Nathanael, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is our text. For Nathanael, whose other name is Bartholomew, it all started with a friend. And I don't mean a Facebook friend. It was a real face-to-face friend who was his bridge to Jesus. Another flesh and blood human being. That friend's name was Philip. And it's possible that Philip himself had first been introduced to Jesus by Peter. They were both from Bethsaida. And Peter began following Jesus because of what his brother Andrew had told him, and Andrew heard it from John the Baptist. And that's how it happens, yes? One person telling another. Friend witnessing to friend, brother inviting brother to meet the Messiah. Building bridges between people and Jesus. Now, evangelism isn't always quite as successful as I've made that sound, but it is always that simple. There's a home mission all around us, literally in our homes, or next door, or in the nearest cubicle. And this is where hope lies, in real individual relationships. Jesus didn't need Facebook to get his message out, or Twitter, or Google, or Parlor, or telephones, or telegrams, or smoke signals. He used people. Faces as unique and as beautiful as yours and mine. He used real human relationships. He used people opening their mouths to speak his name. And you've still got your mouth, right? And we use our mouths for all sorts of things. Some of them good, some of them not so good. But why not for this? Tell someone about Jesus. Invite them to church. And many of you do, of course. That's one of the reasons why we so often have guests and visitors, and they become friends and eventually wish to join our congregation. Like the 8 people right now who are going through adult instruction. Now, I know that some people, it may not be you, but some people in our congregation and certainly around the nation are concerned about big tech and censorship and the freedom of speech. It's good and it's right to ask questions and to make arguments and to advocate for change where it's needed. I would point out, however, that those platforms only have authority because we've given it to them. But I think we've also made them more important than they need to be. Because I'll tell you one thing, there's no big tech or big brother listening in on the conversation that you have with your neighbor over the fence. So a Twitter account was closed or a Facebook page was taken down. What impact does that have on your life? They can't shut down the relationship that you have with your neighbor. That relationship across the fence, or the one with your walking partner, or the relationship you have with your client. And if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, as some fear, let's be honest, those are the relationships that will matter. We won't care about what so-and-so said on Facebook, or what Facebook did to so-and-so. The person next door will be far more important. It will be neighbors and friends and local communities banding together to help and care for one another, providing meals, financial support, and sharing skills. That's what's important. And let's not lose the sense of that. For Nathaniel, it all started with that friend. What about for you? Who was your Philip? It may have been your parents, having you baptized, bringing you to church, teaching you God's word. Maybe you came to know Christ while taking an art class, or through a sister-in-law, or only by knocking on a neighbor's door, or because someone helped you in a crisis. And sure, people can also find a church by searching online. In fact, it's even possible to listen to this sermon online. It's certainly possible to find good teaching and study the Bible over the internet. But there's also a whole lot of false theology and bad teaching. Many will be led astray. And though there sometimes is nothing better for us, virtual church is certainly a poor substitute for the real thing, flesh and blood. But back to Jesus, that's where the text takes us, back to Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him whom Moses and in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You can almost hear the excitement in Philip's voice. "At last, the Messiah, he's here. This is it." But Nathanael's not so sure. He has his questions. He's not easily convinced. His first response is a skeptical one. Something isn't adding up. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I wonder, was that an honest question or a dismissive one? Did he ask it with curiosity? Or did he ask the question laughing or maybe even mocking? Like me, you're probably ready to answer that question with a resounding yes. Yes, of course something good can come out of Nazareth. There's Jesus. But hold on. I don't know why Nathanael thought that about Nazareth. Maybe it had a bad reputation. Maybe it was a backwards, behind-the-times sort of place. Maybe it just lacked an Old Testament pedigree. But sit with Nathanael for a moment and chew on that question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Where does good come from? And where does something as good as the Messiah come from? Would you expect to find that kind of good in Nazareth? In the place you come from? Or would you expect to find in a place like that the same things you find in yourself and in every place? Not what is good, but what is defiled. As Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So maybe Nathanael just knew what people are like everywhere. Maybe he knew what it is that comes out of people, including people in Nazareth, and he knows that it isn't good. You and I might be tempted to make an apology for Nazareth. We might be ready to say to Nathanael, "Come on, Nathanael, it's not that bad." Or maybe to make a list of the virtues and the things that Nazareth has going for it, like oyster crackers or the mountain or the old mill or so forth and so on. At least there are those things in Nazareth, right, Nathanael? But Philip doesn't do that. Philip just says, "Come and see." It's a very simple thing. Come and see. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to have any of the answers. And you don't have to convince someone to believe. Just be the bridge to Jesus. Invite them to come and see. Be a Philip. And what will he see when he comes? What does Nathanael find in Jesus? He finds someone who knows him. He finds someone who knows him intimately, someone who knows even what he's thinking, someone who discerns his thoughts from afar. You might say that Nathanael finds in Jesus someone who reads him like an open book, knows him from cover to cover. This is what Jesus says when he sees Nathanael. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Though he's descended from Jacob, deceitful and dishonest Jacob, Nathanael is an honest Israelite. He is sincere about Israel's hope and about Israel's salvation." And how does Jesus know him? "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And that's when it clicks for Nathanael. That's when faith takes hold. When Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And we're sort of just scratching our heads. Why is that so significant? What was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? And why does Jesus mention it? And why does that bring faith in Nathanael's heart? Under the fig tree is a place where people would take rest for prayer and for meditation on God's word and for study. Jesus had seen Nathanael searching the scriptures. He had seen Nathanael in the word. He had seen Nathanael hoping and praying for the fulfillment of God's promises. But seeing Nathanael under the fig tree was nothing. The Son of God had known Nathanael long before that. He formed his inward parts. He knit him together in his mother's womb. His eyes saw Nathanael's unformed substance and marked the number of days, his number of days, even before they began. And this is true not only of Nathanael, but of all human life from conception to natural death. We must never deny the humanity of anyone, not of the unborn or of the elderly or of any race or creed or socioeconomic status. And of all people in the world, we as Christians are those who get this. We know that all people, from the littlest to the oldest, and everyone in between, is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Every life is precious, whether the world wants it or not. And every life is one for whom Jesus gave his life. God made them. God loves them. And God wants them not only to live, but to live forever. And that's what he wanted for Nathanael as well. Sitting under the fig tree, studying the scriptures, waiting for and hoping for the Messiah, but certainly not expecting the Messiah to come out of Nazareth. And just what had Nathanael been studying and thinking about under the fig tree? From what Jesus says next, it seems that he's been meditating on Jacob's dream from Genesis. You might remember the one in which Jacob falls asleep with a rock as his pillow, and then he sees a ladder extending from earth to heaven with angels going up and down on it. Jesus says to Nathanael that he will see greater things than this. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Philip was the bridge between Nathanael and Jesus, but Jesus himself is the bridge, the ladder, between earth and heaven. He connects what's below with what's above. He takes what's defiled and he makes it pure to enter God's presence. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, St. Paul says. He alone connects heaven and earth. As God, Jesus is from heaven, and as man, he is from earth, and he bridges the gap between them. He is the good that can and does come from Nazareth, because he is the good that can and does come from heaven. And Nathanael would see Jesus as the bridge between God and man, between heaven and earth. He would see Jesus crucified, hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, paying for the sin of the world, paying for the defilement that comes out of man, paying for a world from which nothing good can come, and reconciling God to man. As Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree, so Nathanael from under the tree of the cross would see Jesus. And I wonder, as some of the disciples climbed the ladder to take down the body of Jesus from the cross, did Nathanael remember the first time he met Jesus? As the body was being laid in the grave, did he remember how Philip had said, "Come and see"? It's interesting to think, that day when the body of Jesus was buried, the disciples thought that all was over. They thought that all was lost. They thought that hope was gone. But it would be on the third day that others would run to the disciples and say, "Come and see," and call them to the empty tomb. Jesus is risen. Nathanael didn't expect much good to come from Nazareth, from Jesus. But he found in Jesus a tree that brought salvation. He found a bridge from heaven to earth, a bridge that God crossed to bring him and you home. He found peace and reconciliation with God. This is where we find hope for our world, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this individual, personal relationship between our Lord and us, between our Lord who suffered and died and the sinner who needs that death. This is where we find the one who is truly our friend, who has laid down his life for us. While we were still sinners, he gave himself for you and for me. And here is the hope of the world. And so we are called through Christ friends of God. And we have this promise now, that when we die, the angels of God will ascend and descend on Christ through the one who was crucified to carry our souls to heaven. And when our Lord returns and our bodies are raised on the last day, heaven and earth will be wonderfully and eternally united. The dwelling place of God will be with man. And we will sit under the fig tree and we will meditate on the scriptures, which are all about Christ. And we will see God, not virtually, not as in a dream, but face to face. God grant that that day come soon. In Jesus' name, amen.